11. You should have your place there. If you would, please stand. Revelation chapter number 11. Now, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to give you an overview of chapter number 11. You may remember that not last week we had Vacation Bible School, but the week before last, we talked about chapter number 11 through chapter 14 is what we call parenthetical. In other words, God, before the great tribulation begins, God wants to introduce us to some main persons or personalities during this last section of the tribulation, which we call the great tribulation. The tribulation is 3.5 years, and then the great tribulation is 3.5 years for a total of a 7-year period of time that'll be on this earth. And we read some very devastating things, and we went through and we talked about the carnage and the catastrophe and all the things that would be happening during that time here upon this earth. And yet, that is nothing compared to what is yet to come. And so tonight, we're going to begin in chapter 11 in introducing two of the seven personages or personalities, and that is the two witnesses. So we're going to talk about two witnesses. And then in chapter number 12, we'll not get there tonight, but in chapter 12, there are three. There's the sun-clothed woman, who we believe to be the nation of Israel. We'll talk about that. And then there's the man-child that comes from the sun-clothed woman. We believe that to be the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about that. And then there's the dragon, and we believe that to be Satan, and we'll talk about that. You get to chapter number 13, and there's two beasts, one beast from the earth, one beast from the sea, and we'll talk about that. Okay, that's the seven personages or personalities. In chapter number 14, there's 144,000 flaming evangelists or missionaries, and they're Jewish in nature as far as their nationality. We talked a little bit about it in chapter number 7, and we'll talk more about it. I had someone to write in to the church website and say, hey, listen, will there be people saved during the tribulation period? What's the answer to that, church? Yes, there will be a great multitude of people of every kindred and tongue and nation and language. Listen, there will be a great number to that, a multitude that in chapter number 7, John said a number which you couldn't count. It's a great multitude. And so there will be a lot of people saved in the tribulation period. That's the good news. The not so good news is God is going to send strong delusion, and I'm quoting now out of 2 Thessalonians, to those who have heard the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness and would not accept the love of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it would just be foolish for a person to say, well, I think I'll wait until... No, you don't wait. You come when God calls. And so just in the event there'd be anyone here, I don't know that there would be, or someone watching by live stream or just comes across this tape or this video and says, well, I think I'll wait then since there's going to be a lot of people saved in the tribulation period. Well, you don't wait on something like that. You come. You come. Today is the day. Now is the accepted time, you see. Now, if you'll come, Jesus has promised that he would in no wise cast you out. What a promise that is. So if you're not saved, you need to be saved if God is dealing with your heart. If Jesus is calling you, if God is showing you that you're lost and you need to be saved, that's the invitation. You come. God's calling you. You come while God is called. All right? Now, another part of the good news is if you are saved, you're not going to be here for the tribulation period. And we talked about that. That's called the rapture of the church, and we've talked about that. All right? Now, in chapter number 11, chapter 10 closes out the first 3.5 years of tribulation. And before we get into the second half, which is at the blowing of the seventh trumpet, all right? Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials. At the last three trumpets, 5, 6, and 7, three woes. We are now getting ready to talk about the seventh trumpet. As a matter of fact, if you can look across the page, or maybe the same page, look at chapter number 10 in verse number 7. Notice what is said here. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when that seventh angel blows that seventh trumpet, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And so what's he saying? He's saying, when God tells that seventh angel to blow that seventh trumpet, which will be the third woe, God is going to rapidly bring to a close the day of Jacob's trouble, the wrath of God upon this world, and that's called the Great Tribulation, which will be for 3.5 years. Something's going to happen in the midst of the tribulation. Why would there be peace and safety and yet all this going on in the first half? What's going to happen to cause great tribulation? 2 Thessalonians, and I want you to write this verse down, chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4 says that the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple as God. And he's going to make himself God. And he is going to commit the abomination of desolation. Now, Daniel talks about this in Daniel chapter 9. I encourage you to read these scriptures, okay? It's very, very important. Completion of Daniel's 70th week. And we'll talk about that when we get to chapter 13 on the beast of the earth or the land, the beast of the sea. I want to talk about two witnesses. I want to ask you a question before I read the scripture. So I've been standing for a while. Well, you've been sitting for a while too, so I'm going to let you stand for a while. Here's a question. I don't want you to raise your hand or answer out loud. I just want you to think about this, okay? And I really want you to think about this. Are you being persecuted? Now, just think about that. Now, there's a lot of persecution on our earth today. And just because it's not happening in your neighborhood doesn't mean it's not happening. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, and yea, they that will be godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay? So are you suffering persecution? I heard a man say one time, and it really stuck with me. He said, you know, the problem with today's Christians is that nobody wants to kill them anymore. Think about that. When Christians were on fire for God, preaching the word, taking a stand, they wanted to kill them. I sure hope we haven't so blended in with the world that nobody wants to kill us anymore. You say, well, preacher, you trying to get yourself killed? Nah, I want to hang around here as long as God wants me to. But I sure don't want to compromise in order to do that. I want to stay straight, and I believe you do too. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. We've got two witnesses, and when you first read this, you'll think, man, that's sad. These two guys came, and they got killed. I mean, the beast overcome them. But I want you to notice carefully what God tells us about these men, okay? So let's read verse 7 and 8. I hope you'll go home and read the chapter, and I'll give you an overview of the chapter in about 15, 20 minutes. All right? Look in chapter number 11. Look in verse number 7, and we'll read verse 7 and 8. Revelation chapter 11, I want to read verse 7 and 8. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand your word. God, we know that we can't understand the things of God without the aid and help of the Holy Spirit. God, we know that the Spirit searcheth the deep things of God and reveals them and manifests them unto his own. And God, we are your own by faith in Jesus Christ. So I pray you to reveal to our hearts, our minds, our understanding, the things of your word, that we might be better servants of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, you can be seated. I want to give you just a few things about these two witnesses. Now, there's a lot of discussion, and I'm not going to spend time on discussing who these witnesses are. You know, some say, well, it's Enoch and Elijah. You can't prove that. Well, others say, well, it's Enoch and or Elijah and Moses. You can't prove that. Some people say, well, it's Joshua and Zerubbabel. You can't prove that. The Bible doesn't say who they are. The Bible gives us some characteristics about them. I know who I think they are. Some people say, well, they came in the spirit of Elijah. They came in the spirit of Enoch. They came in the spirit of Moses and write on down. And again, the Bible doesn't say that. It just says there's two witnesses. So let's just read through. And I like to try to focus. When I'm dealing with the Word of God, I want to focus on the things that are there and not speculate on the things that are not there. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself doing that, right? You can. You'll find yourself kind of filling in blanks that God never intended to be filled in. It's really not important who they are. It's not. They were God's witnesses. Can I tell you, you are too, if you're saved. Jesus said so. You shall be witnesses. Acts 1, right? Amen. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's right. And so I want to, or you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So I want to give you some words here that we're going to build some thoughts around, and then we'll close the service tonight. The first thing I want you to notice is how that God spiritually prepares these two witnesses. And I want us to learn some lessons from it. I just don't want this to be information. I want us to gather this information and make it what we would call applicable. In other words, I want you to realize what God did for these men in peril and in times of tribulation and times of testing, He'll do for you. He'll do for me, right? God's no respecter of persons. And so I want you to notice what the Scripture says. The first thing in verses 1 and 2, and I'm just going to say this, and we'll come back to this because we're going to be talking about this temple. The temple's going to be restored. God says, He tells John, I want you to measure. And he said, I want you to measure the temple. He said, but now in verse number 2, he said, I don't want you to measure the court that is without the temple. He said, you leave that out. He said, because that's given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months, which is 3.5 years, which is that time of the tribulation. All right, then there'll be great tribulation, and that's the time that we're getting ready to enter into here. Something happens after the first 42 months or 3.5 years to cause the Gentiles there's just an all-out assault against Israel. There'll be a peace treaty with Israel, and there'll be peace and safety, and that's what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And then sudden destruction shall come upon them, and we'll see where the children of Israel will flee to the rocks of Petra, okay? They'll flee. They'll run. They'll be chased. They'll be hunted down like animals. Now, in verse number 3, God said, even though, and I want you to pay very close attention to this, because leading up to the time we're leading up to, I can find myself somewhat in this predicament, and I think you can too if you'll just look close enough. Even though there's going to be great opposition, nobody wants to hear the Bible, nobody wants to accept God, nobody wants to talk about God, everybody wants to do it their way, we want to take God out of society, God out of the public arena, even in many, many instances, God even out of the church. That's right, say amen. God, just get God out of the church. We just want to run, we just want to have religion, we just want to have like a fellowship, we just want to have like a place where we can meet and have entertainment. And so, even in a day like that, I'm glad that God will always have a witness. See, God will always have a voice, brethren. God has always had a voice, and God will always have a voice. He will always have a voice. And so he said here in verse number 3, he said, I will give power unto my two witnesses. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. A score is 20, 60. 1,260, that's 1,260 days, that's 42 months. Okay, the Jewish day calendar is 360 days. You do the math, that's 3.5 years. He said, and they're going to be clothed, the last part of verse number 3, in sackcloth. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about being spiritually prepared. I want you to notice what God said he's going to do for these two witnesses. He said in verse number 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. You see that? He said, The olive tree is a productive tree, widely used in Jerusalem. And of course, we know that oil is something that is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, candlesticks of light. He said they're going to be a light. God's going to use them. God's going to use them as a witness in a time of darkness, in a time of rebellion, in a time of trouble, in a time of calamity. And he said He's going to be with them. He's going to use them. And he said in verse, the latter part of verse number 3, he said they will be clothed in sackcloth. Now, what did that mean in the scripture? What did that mean? Yeah, it was praying, mourning. They would be praying and mourning. They would be drab and why? Because of the message. Their message is a message of judgment. Judgment is coming. They're basically gonna tell people, listen, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. Up until now, you thought that you were in trouble. You haven't seen anything to the magnitude of the judgment of Almighty God that's coming. And they wasn't rejoicing. Listen, you show me a preacher, you show me a Christian that is happy about people going to hell and people falling under the judgment hand of God, and I'll show you a fake. Someone that does not understand God's program. Listen, I believe in preaching hell, hot, judgment, sure. But you ought to do that with a broken heart. You can't do that, you know, just thundering out hell and thundering out judgment, almost like you're glad people's going there. Something's wrong with folks like that. There ought to be tears in our eyes. Amen. There ought to be warning in the sound of our voice. Don't go there. You don't have to go there. And so the Bible says that these people, these two witnesses, will be spiritually prepared. They'll be God's men, and they're going to come, and they're going to preach, and they're going to warn, and they're going to sound the alarm, and they're going to be prepared of God. Again, notice in verse number 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks. Look at this next statement. Standing before the God of the earth. God sends them. God wants them to warn. God wants them to lift up their voice. God wants them to sound out. Can I tell you that though we're not in the tribulation, we are in perilous times, because in the last days, Paul wrote Timothy and said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. I don't think that you have to be a rocket scientist to look around and see that these are perilous times that we're living in. And we need to be sounding out the Word of God. We need to be getting out the gospel. And so I want you to think about that. Number one, I want you to think about being spiritually prepared before God. I pray to God now that you're spiritually prepared. Pray every day, folks. Listen, I'm not standing up here saying that I'm some kind of prayer warrior, but I pray every day. I pray every day. I pray many times every day. I'm not trying to make myself to be something I'm not. So listen, I'm not. God knows my heart. I believe you pray every day. I hope you pray many times every day. I pray that you would understand the importance of prayer in these days in which we live. The devil wants to divert you. He wants to distract you. He wants to keep you away from praying and reading and studying the Word of God and witnessing to the lost. Dan, I appreciate you giving the gospel out today. And I believe others here at Fellowship Baptist Church do. I can't tell you how many times I've reached in my pocket and pulled out a tract. Somebody said, hey, somebody just gave me one of them little booklets or pamphlets. You know, I had one guy tell me, he said, hey, you got another one of them cards? You know, they don't know. He's talking about a tract. It just does my heart good when I go through a drive-thru or go in a store and I go to hand, hey, somebody else gave me one of these. We have a family right now visiting our church who said that they seen somebody in Walmart. They were actually, they were going out of town, and one day they're going to stand up before the church and testify. They were going out of town, going to the beach, and they had forgotten something. You're talking about divine appointments. And they said, before we get on the road, hit 64, why don't we duck in here to this Walmart? And they went into Walmart. They live in Madison. They was going down to Greene County, went in that Walmart. One of our church members was in there, gave them a tract as they was coming out the door. They stuck it, the lady stuck it in her pocketbook. A couple of months later, cleaning out her purse, seen the tract, read it, and came to the church, and they've been coming ever since. Sharon and I was able to go by and witness to them and talk to them about their soul, and they both claimed to be saved but just had gotten away from the Lord, and God is working in their heart. You never know, is what I'm saying. You never know. So be prepared. Be spiritually prepared. Number two, I want you to notice not only were they prepared, but the Bible says here they were protected. Look, if you would, in verse number 5 and 6. 5 and 6 of chapter 11. It says this. It says, "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." Now, it's from these verses of Scripture that people say, well, that's Elijah and that's Moses. And we know that Elijah, oh, let's start with Moses. Moses was a prophet that God used to deliver the children of Israel out of physical bondage, okay? They were in spiritual decline, but they were in physical bondage. Certainly, the world's going to be under physical bondage here. And Elijah came along at probably the lowest time in Israel's spiritual history, all right? I mean, Ahab and Jezebel. And Elijah came along. And so because of that, and because of some of the characteristics are here, and because of the times being very similar physically and spiritually, even it's mentioned, if you'll notice, let me see, look in verse number 8. It says in the middle of verse number 8, which spiritually, when it's talking about the city, that great city, which is talking about Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom, which speaks of vice, and Egypt, which speaks of vanity, and so also where our Lord was crucified. So it's talking, people think, well, you know, I think it was Moses, I think it was Elijah. I'm not going to split hairs with people. I don't know who it was. I don't know that it really mattered. I think if it really mattered, I think God would have told us. If it had anything to do with an accurate interpretation of what we have here, I just think God would have told us. I will say this, though. According to verse number 6, I think it's something that they can shut up the heaven that it rain not, and that's exactly what Elijah could do. And I think it's something that it's mentioned that they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will, which is something that Moses did. I think that that's interesting. I'll just leave it at that. I think it's interesting. All right? But what it does tell me is this, and I want you to listen very carefully. It tells me that God protects his own. You say, now, preacher, I'm getting real concerned. I mean, there's a lot of people out here that hate church, they hate God, they hate the Bible, they hate Christians. And I get real concerned that it's kind of making me kind of where I don't even want to mention the name of Jesus in public anymore. I'm afraid that I might get jumped or I might get, you know, followed or I don't know what might happen. Well, can I tell you that this is what God said? I'm telling you what God said now. I want you to notice in verse number 5. And if any man will hurt them, okay, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Now, I'm not telling you, so don't you try this, all right? Don't you think you're going to go, and fire's going to come out of your mouth and you're going to consume somebody, all right? Now, if you've ate the right stuff that day, something might come out of your mouth and knock them out. I don't know, it'd kill them. But listen to me. I don't think fire really comes out of their mouth. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 19 that a great sword comes out of Jesus' mouth. Read it. Revelation 19, 15, a great sword proceedeth out of his mouth. I don't think that's a physical, literal sword. I think speaking of the word of God. I think this fire could be condemnation. I think it could be damnation. I think it could be a curse. For whatever it may mean, I do know it means this. You don't want to mess with God's people. You keep your hands off of God's people. Amen. You hear me? Especially when they're God's witnesses. That's right. You keep your hands off of God's witnesses. When God is using somebody and God has got his hand on somebody, the very worst thing you could do is put your hand on them. You take your hand off of God's people. Don't you try to hurt God's people now. All right? Now you say, well, God won't hurt me. Yeah, God will hurt you. Are you listening to me? I want you again to notice verse number 5. The scripture says, this is God saying, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Who gave them that power? God did. Read the earlier verses. God gives them this power and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must be in this manner be killed. These have power. And then it talks about the power that they have to bring curse and to bring dilemma to those who go against them. So number one, we said, they're spiritually prepared. They're also sovereignly protected. Okay, God's going to protect them. Now God will prepare you too and God will protect you too. Right? Is that right, brethren? That's right. Now, I want to say this, and then I'm going to move on. I've got a few more things to say, and then I'll be done. But I want you to get this, okay? There's a lot of concern that people say, well, I'm just not sure that God will protect me. I know he'll protect a preacher. I know he'll protect a missionary. But what will he do with little old me? God will protect you. You're his child. Amen. God is going to protect you. There's an old saying. I want to add to it tonight. Now, I'm not adding to the scripture. I said it's an old saying. All right? You've heard the saying. God's work, done God's way, will never lack God's provision. I want to add something to that. God's work, done God's way, will never lack God's provision nor God's protection. God will protect you. Amen. God will protect you. God will protect us. So, well, I'm concerned about this and that. Well, I'm going to show you what happens when God says, I'm not saying that something bad couldn't happen to you. These two witnesses, they get killed. So, well, how can you say that God, wasn't they doing God's work, God's way? Didn't God protect them? He sure did. Until, watch what happens here. Don't miss this. See, one day my work on earth is going to be done. One day your work on earth is going to be done. It could be when you're 30. It could be when you're 90. I don't know when that's going to be. And by the way, you don't either. You do not either. But I know that one day what God has for me, I'm going to be able to come, if I will stay faithful to God, if I will be faithful, I'm going to come down to the end of my race, and I can say like the Apostle Paul, I have finished my course. You know what he could say because he could say that? I'm now ready to be offered. That's right. You see, you won't fear death. You'll know my work here is done. It's time for me to go home. Amen. Can I tell you that's what happened here? Read carefully with me again, verse number 7. And when they shall have finished, I have that highlighted in my Bible. When they finish their testimony, when they're done, then the enemy can touch them. But until then, God says, nope, can't do it. They'll breathe out fire. They'll take care of you. Actually, God said, I'll take care of you. Isn't that right, brethren? Isn't that right, brethren? We're God's people. Now listen, God deals with his people. God will chasten you. But God will protect you too. Say amen with me now. We got a bunch of folks running around here cowardly. You don't have to be cowardly. Now don't listen. Don't be foolish. But don't be cowardly now. Don't be cowardly. You're a child of the King. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. You're a child of God. God will take care of us. He's taken care unto us heretofore. Will he not take care of us moving forward? Sure, God will take care of us. And he said, I'm going to take care of them. And he said, now when they're finished, look at verse 7. And when they had finished their testimony, then is understood the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. But not until then. You don't think he didn't want to do it before then? He didn't want to do it before they were finished. Listen, he wanted to do it before they were finished, right? Just like he would like to snuff you out and snuff me out. But God, listen, God will see to it that he can't until he's through with you. You stay true. You stay faithful to God. Don't you let the enemy get your focus and your mind and your spiritual perception off of the goal. You stay true to God. And I will tell you right now, God is always true to his children. Always. So we said number one, for preparation. Number two, protection. And then there comes this persecution, right? I mean, here he comes and Satan's persecuting. In verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, these witnesses died. I'm going to hasten through this. This is terrible. This just shows you how much people hate God, hate his people, hate his preachers, hate his preaching, hate his word. They allow these two men to lay in the street, and they almost have like a satanic Christmas. I want you to notice what the scripture's teaching here. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another. That's sick. Just goes to show you the sickness, the mentality, the spiritual ineptitude of the people that are upon the earth during this day. They're rejoicing and handing out gifts because we finally shut the mouths of those preachers, right? One day, the world's going to would to God 1,000 times over they heard preaching. One more time. Just one more time. I always think about that rich man who was in hell. He just wished that his brothers could hear preaching one more time. God, he said. Oh, he said, Father Abraham, send them by one more time that they might tell them. One more time. I always think about people who say, I don't hear that preaching. I don't hear that preacher. Don't you come in here shoving the Bible down my throat, you know. That's the devil in them. He did it to me too. He did it to me too. I've made silly, ignorant statements like that. Paul said, I did it ignorantly. Right? I did too. You did too. And so there's this persecution. There's this persecution. And then we have, they're going to be preserved. And then I'll finish up with this. I want you to notice, if you would, they're going to be preserved and there's going to be a success in their prophecy. After 3 days, and verse number 11 says, after 3 days and a half a day, of the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now, you're talking about something supernatural, brother. That's supernatural. I mean, here these guys have been killed. I don't know how they were killed. I mean, I could imagine stoned. I mean, you know, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but they're going to be killed. And they're going to lay in the street, all right? And they're going to pass gifts, and they're just going to make merry over these two. They won't even give them a decent burial. That's the hatred that fills their heart. Well, even enemies would allow, the allied forces to come over and give a decent burial to the dead. They would not even allow that. And the scripture says here in verse number 11, after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life is going to come into them. After 3.5 days, God's going to resurrect them. You say, preacher, you believe that? Absolutely. Yeah, I have zero. I just wish you could see in my heart how little of a problem I have with that. I hope you have as little problem as I do. Like zero. God is a God that can do anything. He can resurrect. He has, and He will continue, and He's going to resurrect the dead. God can do anything. He's the God of life. He's conquered death. And so the scripture says here that He's going to come back, and they're going to hear a great voice from heaven. Look at this in verse number 12. It's saying, come up hither. Now, I'm going to look into this a little further. I've been doing a little studying about this. Some people believe there's going to be a resurrection in they call it a mid-trib resurrection, where tribulation saints are going to be resurrected. I don't know. Maybe, may not be. You know, I know the tribulation saints are going to be resurrected because they're going to get a new body too. But I don't know that this is when it happens. They take this and they attach it to Revelation 4, you know, where that takes place after the church age, before the tribulation period. This is what they call a mid-trib. For those tribulation saints that are back in chapter 7. You read it and study it on your own, and I'm interested in any comments you may have. Now, I want to get down to the success. You say, well, now, what was this successful? Was their prophecy successful? They came, they prophesied, then what? Let's close with this, all right? So the scripture says this. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. The same hour, there was a great earthquake. Now, I want you to follow this. This is very interesting. And it says, the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men, 7,000. When you look at the structure of the way that's worded, it's of men of renown. Okay? There's some dignitaries. There's a lot of world leaders that are going down here. It's what this verse of Scripture is teaching. And so it says that the remnant, in verse number 13, were affrighted. Now watch this now. In other words, those that were in leadership, And I'm not going to make something as it's not, but I'm going to give you just a, maybe so you can wrap your mind around a little bit. So you have all these world leaders or the UN representatives, and so there's this earthquake. Maybe they're meeting there for a tree. I don't know. But it says that there's these men, and then there's this remnant left of this group of people that were there. Of these men, 7,000 of them are killed, but there's a remnant left of these men. And of this remnant, watch what happens. The scripture says this. It says they were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now, it didn't say they believed him. It didn't say they trusted him. It's almost like when Paul said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Up until this time, remember I showed you back in chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. You might want to flip back there. Men shaking their fists in the face of God. And they would not repent. They're saying, yeah, we don't believe you. You can't do nothing to us. But then this happens. It's like they say, whoa. I mean, it really gets their attention. And they get scared. And they say, there might be something to this God thing. Right? I mean, there may be something to this. The scripture doesn't say they get saved. It just says they give glory to God. You say, well, doesn't that mean they get saved? Well, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to what? To the glory of God the Father. So you can give glory to God and not be saved. There's going to come a day when many, all will do that are not saved. And so the scripture says that these give glory to God. And then verse 14 says, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. I'm going to say this, and then we'll have prayer. The seventh angel sounded. I'm going to stop right there. So here's the seventh trumpet. This happens. And now it's time to start the second half of the tribulation that is called the Great Tribulation. All right? So in chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the first 3.5 years, there's 7 seals, 6 trumpets, 2 woes, and then you come up to this point, and now the 7th trumpet sounds. All right? Out of that 7th trumpet comes a woe, and then there's 7 vials. And that's my southern accent. You may not know what I'm saying. It's V-I-A-L-S, vials. Okay? Did you get that? Bowls. Judgments. And God is really, when you read the rest of chapter number 11, you can stand to your feet. When you read the rest of chapter number 11, you'll find that what God is saying here is we're gonna speed this up. It's going to come in rapid succession. Those first 3.5 years kind of lazed through. All right? But now the last 3.5, I mean, it's going to be tragic. Now, if you're saved, you won't be here. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be concerned. You with me? Because somebody you know, maybe somebody that you have as a family member or a friend, maybe somebody that you live with, if Jesus were to come tonight, it's going to go through this. Now, you don't want that. You don't want that. I don't even want someone that would consider themselves an enemy to me. I don't have any enemies, me personally. Now, they might, and I might be on their list. But I mean that when I say it. I don't consider anyone my enemy, not any human being. I want to see people get saved. And I try to pray for people, even people that have been mean-spirited to me, tried to hurt my family. I don't have any ill will toward them. It's hard to get past that sometimes, but I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Time is short. Eternity is forever. And I don't want to see somebody suffer that. I sure hope you don't. And if you do, ask God to help you with that. Let's bow our heads together.